On this episode, I talked to one of my dear friends about overcoming fear, taking risks, and living life on your terms. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Think Outside the Lines podcast. Practical solutions and ideas for designing the life you want with an added dose of inspiration. And now, here's your host, Sean Feeney.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Think Outside the Lines podcast, where every week I talk to people who are out there designing the lives of their dreams. It's my belief that if they can do it, so can you. And these conversations are meant to inspire you to take action and pursue the life you've always wanted to live. I'm Sean, and you can find me over at thinkoutsidethelines.com, where we explore these ideas further. Now, if you're enjoying the show, I'd love if you would head over to iTunes and subscribe. And while you're there, if you could take a moment to leave a quick review, it helps my show out a lot. I'd also like to tell you about an exciting new Facebook group that we've created for those who want to engage with like-minded people who are out there pursuing their goals. It's free to join the group. Just head over to thinkoutsidethelines.com/Facebook. Now, my guest today is bringing the Miami heat to the fitness world of Los Angeles. With 10 years of experience as a professional dancer, he fuses his love of dance with a strong passion for fitness and health. He even shares some of his top fitness tips with us. You are sure to find his story inspiring. It's time to think outside the lines with my friend, Louis Pacheco. All right, Louis Pacheco, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So I always start off my interviews with some icebreaker questions, and it kind of helps everybody get to know you a bit. Let's dive in. Are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do it.
All right. What three words would you use to describe yourself?
A go-getter, passionate, and driven.
Love it. What is the greatest desire in your life at the moment?
Right now is just to be successful and reach my goals.
Sweet. We're going to talk about success in a minute. What is currently your favorite song?
Ooh, okay. I have to say it's going to be Sia, Move Your Body.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to talk about this because I like the Sia album, but that is like my least favorite song on the album.
Oh, no. See, it was meant for Shakira, and I'm a huge Shakira fan. So every time really? I listen to it, I actually picture Shakira performing this.
Okay,
I can actually... I'm so upset that she didn't do it.
Yeah, I can actually hear Shakira singing that song way more than Sia. I just feel like it doesn't fit Sia.
Yeah, it's different. It was a... Yeah, it took me a little bit at first, but yeah, I'm in love with it.
Okay, I'll take it. Favorite place you've ever traveled to?
The Bahamas.
Nice. Worst job you've ever had?
Oh, man. Telemarketing.
Yeah, you did telemarketing?
Yeah, I used to work for this quote-unquote travel company. I would call people and tell them that they want a cruise.
You did not.
Yeah, so they used to get their names from like a little sign up at like big trade shows.
Yeah.
And I would call them and everyone basically was a winner. And we were just supposed to make them. Oh man, I hated it. I think I was there 14 days.
Really?
14 days, too long.
most people don't know this about me, but I worked at Starbucks for one day.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, that's another story for another time. Tell me about someone you admire.
Ooh. Well, definitely. I mean, number one has to be my mom.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, she was a single mother for a big chunk of my childhood. Even when she was remarried, it was a very single mom relationship.
Yeah.
And she worked hard to give us everything that she could to be, you know, who we are today and to really have a solid foundation to be just amazing people in this world. And I admire that. She never gave up. Nothing was out of reach for her. And that's actually how I tend to live my life now.
Oh, I love that so much. Mm-hmm. What would be the title of your autobiography?
Oh, man. The Beautiful Struggle.
Oh, that's good. Good answer.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
Tell me about one thing you can't live without.
One thing that I cannot live without? Music, for sure. I mean, that to me is my energy source in a lot of ways. It allows me to disconnect, connect, reconnect. I mean, that to me is everything.
Yes. I think that's why we're friends, because I could not agree more.
Yeah. I mean, we share a lot of musical
totally.
Influences together. Yeah.
Do you have a morning routine?
I'll be honest, this last month and a half has been crazy. It's definitely taken me for a little spin. But yes, I try to have a morning routine. I like to really take a moment for myself, kind of get myself together, think about what I have planned for the day and really focus on that, have intent around it, which is something that I'm trying to get back into now as we start this new month and get back on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason I asked that is because I think you have a lot going on in your life, and I think a lot of people probably listening have the same scenario. And I think that like the importance of a morning routine is so critical. And we'll talk a little bit more about later about like why that's so important. But
Absolutely,
I'd like to ask people that question because I think if there's a consistent theme amongst people that are successful and out there achieving things, it's probably because they start their day a certain way.
Yes, I agree.
What do you think is the greatest invention in your lifetime?
The greatest invention in my lifetime definitely has to be, I mean, I hate to say it, but the iPhone.
I knew it. That's my answer too. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, it changed everything. It changed how we connect with one another, how we retrieve information, how we do our work every single day. It's not just a phone, and it's crazy to think that in the beginning, it really felt like just a phone, just yeah. another one, you know, and it's evolved into something that we just cannot live without.
I mean, I will tell you that it did not feel like just a phone to me. I had the very first iPhone, and I'll never
did
forget.
You?
Like, yeah, my life changed, like, in that instant. I was one of those crazy people that actually, like, waited in line for the first iPhone. But I knew immediately. Yeah, I knew immediately, though, when I opened that box and, like, turned on this, like, amazing piece of glass, like, life was going to be different forever. Like,
yeah, absolutely. See, it took me a while. So, for me, I always saw it as just a phone.
Yeah.
I was a BlackBerry user.
Oh,
yeah.
You were.
I love my BlackBerry Curve.
Ah, there you go.
So it took me, my first iPhone was the iPhone 4S.
Wow.
So it took me a couple
That's
of generations to get to it. Yeah.
There's still people that have the 4S.
I know.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. You know who still uses a BlackBerry that cracks me up? Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh yeah. She keeps it OG.
And it's funny because like she'll Instagram like pictures with it. And I'm like, that's not cool.
Really?
Like,
what's the quality of the picture?
Totally. Totally.
All right, you can check it out.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do that. You can recommend one book that will change someone's life. What is it?
Unlabel by Mike Echo.
Oh wow, what's that?
Yeah. It's about personal branding in
really?
Today's age. Yeah, it talks about Unlabel, which is identifying who you are as a brand, and not letting other people label you when you're trying to break into certain industries, especially as an artist.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to look a certain way, you have to perform certain things. And the book really breaks it down and saying you are you, you have something that nobody else has. And as an artist and as an entrepreneur, you really have to stay strong to your personal label.
Huh. That's cool. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'll put it in the show notes. All right, Louis, you and I have been friends for a while, and you're someone that I've always just really been inspired by in a lot of ways. And I wanted to have you on the show today because I think the rest of the world really needs to hear how inspiring you are. So why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about your background and what you believe to be the message that you were brought here to share with the world?
Yeah, I'd love to. So it's actually going to be 3 years in April that I moved to L.A., and before I was here, I was actually a professional dancer. I did that for 10 years. And it's something that I absolutely loved to do. I grew up, you know, like I mentioned earlier, in a home where I didn't really have access to everything that I wanted. But my mom worked really hard to really focus on do what you want to do. If there's something out there that you're interested in, go for it. And ever since I was little, music had a big influence in what I did. So I started out, you know, taking part in band and theater and being part of the choir. And little by little, that progressed into movement. It's how could I, you know, express myself in more ways than just listening to music, but also expressing myself with the music. So I started dancing and it was great. I was signed to an agency in Miami and traveled a lot doing shows and performing on stage. And it was an incredible feeling. It was a great way to show people my passion And I always felt like my way to inspire people was going to be on stage dancing. And it's funny that when I moved to LA, I kept dancing, but things were definitely changing. Yeah. I felt a shift in energy. And I really fell in love with fitness. And that's where I'm at right now. I mean, I never would have imagined that that's what I was going to be doing. I was a very skinny kid growing up. Even into my early 20s, I was very thin. I weighed about 130 pounds at my heaviest.
Wow, that's crazy. You're not that today.
Yeah, I'm definitely not that today, you know. But for me, I was content because I was dancing, and that's the look, you know. I didn't really have to do much. But as I started booking different types of jobs, and when I came out to LA, I knew that I had to fit a certain look to be on stage, to look a certain way.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, a requirement. So I started changing my body, and I had a trainer tell me that, hey, you know what? This is just your body type. You're not going to really gain much. You can have some nice definition, but that's about it. And I didn't want to take that as the answer. I didn't think that, why should I just listen to what somebody else is telling me? I feel I can achieve something, so let me go for it. Let me try it.
A trainer actually told you that?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Wow.
So I was like, okay. So I started doing research, read a lot of articles, and found that I was going to need to eat a lot more. And I was going to need to eat a lot more of the good stuff and also work out a lot harder. So I made a plan for myself, a meal plan, 3,200 to 3,400 calories a day I had to take in.
Wow.
I was eating every 2 hours. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of food. And I was going to the gym 5 days a week. And it was the scariest thing because I didn't know what to do when I got to the gym. Yeah. It was intimidating. People looked like they had been going for years and years and years and knew exactly what they were doing. And I felt like I was being judged.
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about that a little bit because I think that it's so ironic that someone that now has like a ridiculously amazing body once was intimidated by the gym. Because I think there's probably a lot of people in that situation that are really intimidated by the gym. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I mean, I think it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
For me, being the skinny guy, walking into a gym of guys that were super muscular, had these great bodies, that was the scariest thing. It's like, okay, are they going to judge me when I pick up the 20-pound weights?
Totally.
Or I don't really know what I'm doing on this machine, so I'm going to look at my phone and take a look at a YouTube video or something before
and let's
I do
get,
it.
And let's set the record straight. Let's set the record straight right now. Are people judging you?
No. At the end of the day, no, we're not. We're doing our own thing, actually. We're so focused on the workout, you know, that we don't do that. And if anything, if we see something that we could, I feel like, give advice on, I think that's what we get most. You know, somebody coming up to you and saying, hey, can I give you a tip about this workout?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a really positive environment when you actually dive in and you become part of it.
And if you can say that about gyms in LA, then you could say that about gyms anywhere in the world.
Oh my God, also. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you're being judged regardless of where you go in LA, let alone
exactly.
The gym.
Yeah.
Now, I want to back up a little bit and talk. I just recently learned that you moved to LA having never been here before. Like you literally got on an airplane and you're like, I'm moving to LA.
Yes.
So we need to talk about that. Talk to me about what that was like. How does one just pack up their stuff and move to a city they've never been to?
You know, you jump. That's how you do it. I always wanted to be in LA as a dancer. The last 5 years of my career, I kept telling myself, I need to be in LA. I need to be in LA. I need to be dancing at these professional, you know, world-renowned studios. I need to be at those major auditions. And fear definitely got in the way for me.
Sure.
You know, I always second-guessed myself and my talent. And, you know, something just clicked one day. Something just said, you know what? If you don't do it now, you'll never do it. So I bought a one-way ticket to Los Angeles. I did not know one person here at all. I had never visited before. I ended my lease in Miami. And I did not have a place to live when I got to LA. I just knew that I had a pocket full of dreams and a goal in mind.
So what do you do? How does that work? Because you said you didn't have a place here. You had probably limited funds. How do you just get off an airplane and you're like, okay, what do I do next? Like, there's someone listening right now that might be like, oh my God, I want to do that. But what does that process look like? That's so
frightening. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't blind going into it, you know? I had somewhat of a plan and I knew things would work out. So I had enough money that I had a hotel room for a couple of days. And I just knew that I was going to go to the studios and I was going to start looking at apartments. I tried looking for apartments before I came out. And it was very difficult to set something up over the phone. People wanted you to be right then and there. Where are you? Can you come in today? Can you fill out the application and put down a deposit? And that's very hard when you're doing it across the country.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, once I get there, I will start looking and I will find a spot.
So you did a bit of pre-planning, it sounds like.
I did a little bit of pre-planning, yeah. And I mean, the last 5 years, it was always pre-planning, kind of thinking about it. I just never actually went and did it.
Yeah.
So when I got here, I actually spent 8 hours a day just at the dance studio. And I happened to run into someone that I had done a show with before in Miami. We connected and they offered me their couch until I found an apartment. So, I mean, that was incredible because a sense of relief came over me because I had a roof over my head, even if it was at a friend's on a couch.
Yeah.
And every day I looked for an apartment until I found one on Craigslist, actually.
Wow. That's really inspiring because I think you mentioned like jumping and taking the leap a moment ago. And I feel like it's one of those things where like when you do that, the universe really does orchestrate like the right people, places, and circumstances to fall into place when you like take that leap of faith.
Absolutely. I mean, it's about your energy too, you know? You have to, when you jump to something like this, you have to have in mind that, okay, I will get an apartment. I will get a job. I will book, you know, this gig. It's all I will.
Totally.
If you doubt yourself, that type of energy is what's going to be around you.
Could not agree more. I want to talk a little bit about making the transition from dancer to fitness guru, because when you moved to LA, you said you had your heart set on dancing.
Absolutely.
So I actually remember the day that you told me that you weren't going to pursue dance anymore and that you were, you know, you decided to go the fitness route. And for a second I thought, no, like that's his dream. But it was weird because almost immediately after that, I had this like epiphany and you realized that you had a different purpose. And then I found that really inspiring.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a bit about transitions in life and how we handle them, how we come to the conclusion that sometimes the thing that we once thought was our dream might look a little bit different now as we go through life.
Yeah. I mean, dance, like I said, I thought was the vehicle on how I was going to inspire people. And if you ask me what my job in life, I will say that my job in life is to inspire and motivate others to achieve what they feel they cannot achieve. And as a dancer, I did that for a certain amount of time. I ended up actually meeting Simone de la Rue, who was a professional dancer as well, based out of Australia and in New York. And she became a fitness instructor. I heard her on the podcast. I hit her up on Twitter, said hello. She messaged me back. And, you know, we actually ran into each other in LA out of the blue, very random. And she recognized me from my Twitter picture, which is crazy to me.
Wow, that's crazy.
That tiny little picture, yeah. And she invited me to her studio in West Hollywood. So I stopped by, and as I'm, you know, getting the tour of the entire place, we stop at a wall that she had of pictures of all the instructors. And she happened to only have female instructors. And she looks at me and she says, you know what? We were meant to meet because I'm looking for a male dancer that can also be a trainer to bring into my brand and to develop this new style of fitness geared towards men. So I looked at her and I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're crazy. And she's like, no, I mean, if you want this, I want you with me.
Wow.
So that was my first opportunity to actually dive a little deeper into fitness and kind of take what I learned from my personal journey into this whole new world that I was about to dive into. And I absolutely fell in love. I found a new way of connecting with people and actually inspiring them that I was not getting from dance. Yeah. And that was actually one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make. You know, how do you let go of something that you've done for so long that runs through your veins and pursue something different? And I really just sat back and I asked myself, you know, how I felt when I was doing both. And I was at a moment where, you know, my bucket was filled with dance. I had traveled, I had done, you know, huge shows. I performed with incredible artists, and I felt it was time for a new chapter, a new challenge, something different, but that I still got a lot from.
I love that so much. And it's really inspiring because I know that there is someone out there listening right now that thinks that the vehicle that's going to get them from like where they are to where they want to be has to be a certain thing or look a certain way. And I always thought I wanted to act, but mm-hmm. when I really broke it down, I realized that I want to, you know, make an impact. I want to inspire. And I thought that like acting was going to be the platform that gave that to me. But what's amazing is that like you can be out there inspiring people every day in your life. You don't have to have like a huge platform. Some people do, some people don't. And that can transition, you know, you can come across being like podcasting, for example, you know, that like, this is a great vehicle to do those things that I always long to do. And it's still making a significant impact. And so I challenge people to think about that, because there could be another vehicle to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And you have to kind of be open to what the universe is showing you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key right there. Be open to opportunities, to who you meet, to different challenges, because they can, you know, take you to a different level of what you thought was possible for yourself. Yes. I mean, whatever you think you're doing now, there is greater that you can achieve.
And if your dream at its core is to, like, for example, inspire, mm-hmm. follow that as your guide and let the vehicle be whatever it's going to be that gets you enables you to do that.
Absolutely.
Amazing. I want to talk a bit about fitness training, because it takes a lot of discipline. I want you to share some of your strategies and techniques that you use to stay on track, because I know it's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, it can be difficult. You know, for a lot of people, we work 9-to-5s, right? We have full-time jobs. We may have kids. We have pets. We have just everyday responsibilities. So how in this crazy schedule of mine do I find time to take care of me? And that's actually the most important thing.
Yeah.
When you think about it, if you can't take care of yourself and you're not in a good place, there's absolutely no way that you can give your fullest to anything else that you do. At some point you kind of burn out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I believe in really planning it out. Routine is key for me, scheduling out when I'm going to work out, what classes I'm going to take, when I'm going to go on a hike. So every Monday, I input my schedule for work. And then I find the times where I'm going to be teaching. I put that in as well. And then in between all that, I will schedule the times that I'm going to go to the gym. And I have to stick to that. If somebody invites me somewhere, they want to have brunch or they want to meet out, you know, for coffee, I look at my schedule and I say, I have this time free. I'm not going to move anything else around, because these are responsibilities and commitments that I've set for myself. And that's one of the biggest things, you know, schedule it out for you, find a consistent time that, you know, you can commit to, and don't let, you know, other things that might come up deter you from going to the gym or getting a good workout, whether, you know, it's a hike or a run.
Yeah. It's all about discipline. I love that. We're going to talk more later in the episode about some specific strategies and techniques that we can actually use, like tangibly take away from this episode, and people can go out and do. Now it's hard enough to keep yourself motivated. Let's talk about keeping other people motivated, because as a trainer, that's essentially what you need to do. How do you even go about doing that for someone that's like, doesn't have any of that motivation that you have?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, when people walk into my class, they're expecting to have a great workout, and it is my job to not only give that, but also motivate and inspire them to push themselves a little harder than they thought that they were going to do. And to actually, you know, show up more consistently to my class. for me, it's really about not putting too much on my plate and taking care of me. If I don't stick to my own personal routine to hit the gym, to eat the right stuff, to enjoy, you know, life and enjoy time with my partner and now my dog and my friends, I'm not going to be happy.
Totally.
So I find ways that I can really feel inspired. Music does a lot for me. I keep up with other fitness and lifestyle coaches. I listen to podcasts. And it's crazy. Instagram has actually been a great way for me to be inspired.
Yeah.
You know, I follow these fitness trainers and just take a look at what they're doing every single day. And that, to me, gives me that extra boost to be like, oh, I love what they're doing. Now it's my turn because I have the ability to do this today.
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
So how do you translate all of that into teaching other people and helping someone else have acquire discipline?
You know, it's about voicing that for them. You know, the class that I teach is, it's not easy. You know, this is a 30-minute high-intensity class on a Versa climber. So just looking at the machine can be intimidating. And it's really about letting them know that they can push through it and they're going to survive that moment. That they feel like, they might feel like they want to give up right then and there. And
yeah.
I mean, there are moments where I'm like right in front of them telling them they need to go harder. Or there's moments where I'm telling them, I know your body wants to give up, but you are stronger than how you feel right now. It is all in your mind. Keep pushing through. So it's really about just pushing them and motivating. Music is actually a huge, huge part of class.
Yes.
I get that feedback a lot from people. They say, I love your music. Your music gets me to a point where I'm about to slow down and all of a sudden this great beat hits, the strong bass hits, and I just push harder because I want to follow that beat.
Yes. I just recently did SoulCycle for the first time. And I admit I'm a horrible friend. I still haven't taken your class. I'm going
to. Yes, you have not.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm going to do that soon. But I did SoulCycle for the first time and I'm not usually like spinning and cycling, not really my thing typically, but there was something about the two things that made it amazing. Obviously the instructor, but to your point, the music, that just something about like the loud music. I feel like I was at a club and the lights and the energy, like that made me realize that like, it actually made me forget that the time was passing because it was
absolutely.
Just like, it just brought me into the moment in such a way that it was just, can't describe it.
I know. It's great.
So you just started teaching at a prominent up-and-coming fitness studio here in LA. Talk to me about what prompted you to go that specific route at this point in your career, what the experience has been like, and what the hell is a Versa climber?
That's crazy because everyone asked me that. That is, I feel, the question of the year. What the hell is a Versa climber? And we'll talk about that for sure. But I was at a point where I had left Body by Simone. I wanted something else. I had just entered this fitness, you know, world. I was very new to training and I was still trying to find where I belonged. So I end up taking this class at Rise Nation, you know, and it's crazy how I even got invited to it. I met someone through my work that, you know, by talking, just getting to know each other, she said, oh my God, you have to meet my friend. He's this instructor and he teaches this class. You have to check it out. So next thing you know, I am showing up at the studio and there's these machines that look like they're from a movie. And I'm just like, what did I just sign up for? What is this? So all of a sudden, the instructor gets on a stage, pushes a button, and these shades start coming down to cover all of the windows. And the room gets completely dark. And I'm like, what is happening? Then the music starts and these lights just start going all over the ceiling. Incredible lights. And I'm just like, what? Oh my God, this is amazing. I feel like I'm at a club. I love this song. Let's go. I'm doing this. We're here. 2 minutes into it, I'm like dying, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I feeling like this? Why is this so hard? I'm a dancer. I, you know, this is what I do. I do cardio. Like, what?
Yeah.
And at the end of that class, I felt something that I had not felt in a while. I felt challenged, and I felt like I got an incredible workout, and I was drenched. So I met with the instructor afterwards, and I was like, that was incredible. How do I get to do this every day?
Wow.
And, you know, some time passed, about, you know, 6 months passed after that. You know, he took all my information. He said he'd be in touch, and I didn't think I was going to hear back. And then I get a text message from him asking me if I was still in LA and if I was still interested in working at Rise. So I said, yes, of course. Let's go back in and let's talk about this. And that's what started my journey here at Rise Nation, from one class to actually being on the stage and delivering the classes.
Wow, that's so cool. I love the music component. And I'd say I'm going to come to your class, and you need to promise me right now, the music needs to be on point. I want like a pop music, Britney Taylor extravaganza.
You do not even have to tell me it needs to be on point, because that's just what I do, okay?
I love it.
I mean, music is my life from when I was little, so I know how it can impact someone.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I spend a lot of time working on my playlist for class, the flow of the music, how they build into one another, what is the message that some of these lyrics are actually giving too.
Totally.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. You're going to like it.
Okay. So I want to transition into your tips, because my whole thing about the show is I love talking to people about esoteric things, but I also like giving people something tangible that they can take away. So you were going to go over your personal tips for getting and staying in shape once and for all. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but number one is schedule it out. Routine is going to be key for you. You know, if you need to put it on your iCal, or if you have an actual physical calendar that you have on your wall or a planner, write it down. Write down your schedule for work, write down any meetings you have, and then write down when you're going to go have a workout. Number two is find something that you really enjoy. It doesn't always have to be joining a gym. It could be group classes. And that's the biggest thing right now, yeah, is going to group classes. It's a great environment. You can go with friends. You can meet new people.
Which is a lot of fun. I think that's so much fun, because I know what's coming up in your list, and I'm going to let you finish in a second, but there's something about a gym that people are just like over. It's intimidating. They don't want to be, you know, going on a treadmill, and it's just, mm-hmm, it's boring to a lot of people. So I really love the class thing that's starting to emerge, because to your point, you can go with friends, you can feel less intimidated. It's about having a good time while getting in shape. Love, love, love.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the gym has a place for someone, you know, but totally, if this is new to you and you want to make a change and you want to start being more active, I think the way to go is going to be the group environment. That's what's going to really get you going and actually motivated to keep it long term. Number three is let go of the scale. I don't believe in the scale. You know, change is going to take time. I recommend all of my clients that they actually measure themselves instead. Huh. So before you take the plunge and actually start working out, measure yourself, and then measure yourself at the 15-day mark. And then at the 30-day mark.
So when you say measure yourself, can you be more specific in terms of what you're measuring?
Yeah. So grab measuring tape, and you're going to measure your chest.
Inches, basically.
Yeah, inches. Right. So you're going to measure your chest. You're going to measure your waist and where your hips are. Then you're also going to take that measuring tape and measure your arms, your biceps. Huh. That you can get at any store, you know. And online, we can have many, many sources, but I'm going to have it on my website, you know, how to measure and what you're actually going to do when you're measuring, and how to write it down and what to look for.
Cool.
Because a lot of people will just not know, like, where am I actually holding the measuring tape? What am I looking for? So that'll be on the site. But I think that's so much better, you know, because it's going to take time.
Totally. I've never heard of that before. And I think that's such a great perspective, because people are about the pounds, and sometimes the pounds fluctuate, right? Like, you could lose a couple pounds in a day, and then you could gain them overnight with whatever. So
absolutely. And muscle weighs more. Yeah. So you might find that you're actually trimming down, you're losing fat, but you're getting stronger. But the scale is not always going to reflect that. So what needs to reflect it is the inches and how you feel and you look. Number four is be realistic. Set goals that you can take steps to a bigger goal. So ask yourself, you know, what do I want to achieve in the next 30 days? And jot that down. Let that be the goal that you focus on. Don't say, I want to lose, you know, 35 pounds. It's like, okay, start small. I want to lose, you know, 10 pounds in this amount of time. Can I get there? Or I'm going to cut out coffee every morning and instead I'm going to have tea. I'm going to cut out fast food. It's little changes that are going to help you get to that overall big goal.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Number five is challenge yourself. A lot of people are intimidated by something that they've never done before. And this is actually the best moment and the best way to kind of feel in a lot of ways. You know, do something different and step out of your comfort zone. I think it's incredible when you achieve something that you think you couldn't do. It's an incredible feeling to do that. Yeah.
You mentioned here some things that you can do. You said like take a yoga class, maybe CrossFit.
Yeah, I mean, we all have our ideas of how something can be, and we might tell ourselves, "Yeah, I don't know, I don't like that. That's not for me. That's not the way to go." But I have learned from personal experience that trying something that I thought I wasn't going to enjoy actually changed my perspective.
Totally, and for you, it looks like it led to a new career.
Absolutely. I mean, yoga class, for example. I am such fast paced. I'm constantly going. I'm like, what's next? Let's go. Let's do it. So slowing down and actually focusing on my breathing and just slow movements, that to me just was scary as hell.
Totally.
So yoga class is incredible. It's actually taught me to take time, slow down, breathe, enjoy the moment, be in the now. Do CrossFit if you've never done CrossFit. You know, cut out liquor. If you feel like, oh, no way, this is my thing, this is my go-to after six, after work.
Yeah.
Try something different.
So I'll really quickly to touch upon that. I have a friend that she and her husband actually did this together a few weeks ago, and they literally just made a rule that they're not going to do any liquor during the week. And they did it together to kind of hold each other accountable. And so I think that there's something to that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's going to be, you know, my extra tip that I have for everyone. Find a partner that holds you accountable. It's already difficult enough to be doing it by yourself, but if you have that go-to person, whether it's your boyfriend, your husband, your girlfriend, or your best friend, you guys make this a team effort. You know, document the hard work that you're doing, talk about it with one another, and that's going to keep you really motivated to continue the hard work and the steps that you're taking.
I love
and
that.
It's more fun too.
Yeah, totally. I think there's something to documenting, like journaling in particular, where you can look back 6 months from now and see where you were versus where you are now. Like that is really powerful.
Absolutely. I mean, I know people that like to take pictures every so often to document how they are. Yeah. They show up to, you know, ClassPass is great because you can try all these different things.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, you know, if you want to challenge yourself and you want to do something different and still be in that environment that has a lot of different people and you want to bring your friend with you, this is the best way.
Yeah. And for people that don't know what ClassPass is, it's actually something that's kind of new. I think it's starting to pop up mostly in major cities right now, but it's basically like you pay a certain amount. It's kind of like Netflix for workout classes where you pay a fixed amount every month and then you kind of pick and choose which classes you can go to. It's amazing. I'm actually considering signing up for it.
Yeah, I think
Rise
it's
Nation,
great.
Rise Nation is on it, right?
And Rise Nation is on it, yeah.
Awesome.
We're on ClassPass, so it gives everyone the opportunity to be able to come in and take the class.
Awesome. So we're going to have all this in the show notes, and you've actually put together a special worksheet, kind of like with these action tips, and you elaborate on them a bit further that'll be available in the show notes on my website, but then also on your website.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to put it up. I know a lot of people can be visual people. Perfect. I know I am. So I'm going to have that up so you can just look at this and really visualize what you want and be able to achieve it.
So one of the things you touch upon in here is that you say no sweets / no food after 6 p.m. Can you talk about why that's important? Because I feel like you hear that a lot, but there's never a true explanation as to why.
Yeah, so I mean, we're a generation where we're giving sweets to kids at a very young age. You know, we have a sugar addiction. When I'm kind of craving something sweet, I'm going to go for it and have some chocolate and things like that. And we don't really set limits to when and how much we're going to eat of something. So I think the rule of eating after six is going to really help people, especially when they want to lose weight. Kind of just planning out, and again, back to that planning out your meals throughout the day and then not consuming anything after six is actually going to cut down some of those calories, and it's going to help you lose weight. It's going to be guaranteed. You just want to make sure that you're consuming the right amount throughout the day and not, you know, depriving yourself of the nutrition that you need.
Awesome. I love it. So Lily, we're going to get personal for a minute. Talk about a challenge that you've encountered along the way that maybe there's someone on a similar trajectory that you would love to help them not have to encounter this particular challenge.
This is something huge for me, and it's fear. Fear is dangerous in so many ways, but fear is going to stop so many people from achieving a lot of the stuff that they want to do. And for me, it's what stopped me from, you know, moving to LA actually earlier than when I did. Fear stops you from, you know, talking to someone that you want to talk to. Fear stops you from trying to ask your boss for a raise or going for a different type of job. Showing up for an interview, you know, it just goes in so many different areas of your life. And the biggest thing that I would say is it's normal to be scared about something, but don't let that overpower the core instinct of what you want to do. Really, you know, jot it down, find out what it is that you want and go for it. You know, I said jump earlier, and that's how I feel with anything that you do. You really just have to jump and go for it and trust yourself that you're going to be okay at the end of it.
What is a big thing that you think fear is holding you back from right now?
Right now is, you know, I've been transitioning into this fitness career now. And all this while I maintained a regular job, you know? It's a job that I've had for the last 5 years that I love doing. It's actually how you and I met.
Yep.
I'm very passionate about it. I get a lot from it. But there's that little bit of fear right now of, okay, when I completely close that chapter and I leave this job, it's going to be all about fitness. And it's going to be an you got to make it work type of moment, you know?
Yeah, that's scary, but it's also really exciting, right?
It is. And, you know, I've learned that it's a scary thing to do, but little by little, when I mentioned earlier, take small steps to a bigger goal. So that's what I'm doing. I'm making all the right moves, moving the pieces around a little bit, so I can actually, you know, close that chapter and really focus on this next big thing that I have for myself. So
I love that we talk about fear and we talk about jumping and taking the leap and all that stuff, because yes, you have to have an element of that, but you've done those things and now you're at a place in your life where you're like, cool, I'm still going to do that, but I'm going to be a little bit more strategic with how I make those decisions, right?
Absolutely. Especially now, because it's not just me, you know, if it was still just me and I was single, I would have just jumped like I did when I left Miami and came to LA. I had nothing holding me back except for, you know, an apartment and a car, and that was it. You know, now it's not just about me. I'm thinking about my partner. I'm thinking about this life that I have started building with him. So it's important that the decisions that I make are the best decision for the both of us.
Totally.
So it's about discussing it with one another and feeling okay with that decision. And when I tell him, hey, I'm about to do this, I'm about to jump, he tells me, jump, I'm right there and I'm going to catch you if I need to. And that's amazing.
That is amazing. What are some tools and tricks that you use to stay inspired and motivated in your life? We talked a little bit about music. What else?
Yeah, so I have a notebook that I like to write daily on. And when I wake up, I write down, you know, how I'm feeling in that moment. And then when I get home, I try to jot down a couple things that happened that day that I'm thankful for or that have impacted me in one way or another.
Love it.
And I think it's great to kind of just, you write it down and then you kind of look back at it a couple days from then or a couple weeks from now. You go back and kind of read some of the things. And that can definitely, you know, re-energize you and kind of give you a little boost that you need.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm big on podcasts too. So on my way to work, I will listen to some podcasts.
So aside from Think Outside the Lines, what other podcasts do you listen to?
Of course, Think Outside the Lines. You know, Lewis House, The School of Greatness.
Totally.
He does an incredible job bringing in some incredible people that talk about their journeys as well and, you know, how they got to the success that they have now. I think that's great. I love TED Talks.
Me too.
And that could be, I mean, any topic, you know. I usually just let it play randomly.
Interesting.
And sometimes I'm not really interested in a specific topic, but I just go through it because I want to learn and kind of open my mind to certain things.
Do you have a favorite TED Talk?
Diana Nyad.
Oh, what's that?
Well, you know, do you know who she is?
No, I don't think so.
She is the distance swimmer that was the first woman to swim from Cuba to Florida.
Oh, wow.
Without any assistance, without a shark cage.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible story. And the thing with her is that she is now, I want to say, let me see, she's 66. She's around 66 years old, okay?
Wow.
She had done this numerous times. This was not her first time attempting this swim. She had tried and tried and tried. And her TED Talk is titled Never Ever Give Up. And she just achieved this goal that, you know, people told her, hey, you've tried so many times. It's, you know, at what point do you stop? And she says, you never stop. You know, when you have a dream, when you have a goal, when you're passionate about something, you never stop. And she did it. You know, she has an incredible book now called Find a Way. She's one of the most inspiring women that I just look up to so much. She's incredible. I definitely, you know, urge everyone to check her out. Check out the TED Talk. Check out her book.
Wow, cool.
You'll get a lot from it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put all that in the show notes. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Louis, I am giving you unlimited funds and resources. Tell me how you're going to change the world.
I am going to make fitness accessible to everyone.
Ooh, I love it. Tell me more.
Well, you know, we all as human beings deserve to live the healthiest and most prosperous life. And I think that begins with how you feel inside. A lot of that is both, you know, eating and how active we are. And I want to be able to spread the knowledge and inspire people to be active every single day, make healthy decisions when it comes to what they put into their bodies. And there should not be anyone out there that says, I can't do it because I can't afford it, or I don't have the knowledge of how to do it.
Agreed.
So it's really about making it accessible.
Cool. I love it. What do you hope the world looks like 5 years from now?
I hope that we're more caring, you know?
Ooh, that's good.
I hope that we care for one another more than we do right now.
How do we start to do that today?
It's, you know, stepping away from social media. It's amazing and it's incredible. It's a great tool. It's a great vehicle for a lot of things. But I think a lot of us can get so caught up in these posts and what's happening in, you know, in the moment there and now. And then we really forget to really connect with one another on a deeper level. I miss the times where we actually picked up the phone and had long conversations with someone. Or you wrote a letter, or you actually went out, or you know, knocked on somebody's house and came over and just sat on the couch and talked and really cared or were involved more than just, you know, in front of a screen. So I hope that we take the social media to a different level where we're actually connecting deeper and caring about the important things and not so much, you know, the petty celebrity superficial kind of thing that we tend to look at.
Totally. I love that. What is your definition of success, and do you think you've achieved it?
Yes. I mean, I have definitely achieved success, and I say that because I've been able to achieve my goals, every single one that I put out there. And I think that's how people should measure success. It's like, I'm putting something out into the world that I want to achieve. It could be anything, anything. Nothing is too small. And if you achieve it and you persevere through anything that you're going through, that is success. It's not always money. It's not always the biggest house or the fastest car. It's about, you know, at the end of the night when I go to bed, how do I feel about what I've been doing? And if you feel good, amazing about that, that's incredible. That's a good feeling to have.
I love it. You know, it's funny. All of my guests answer that question so perfectly. I've yet to have someone that gives me like the wrong answer. I mean, not that there is a wrong answer, because I asked the question because there's not a wrong answer, but right. I love hearing the answer to that question, because I hope that it, every time someone listens, it inspires them to think, wow, like, I am successful. I have achieved things in my life. Awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, something makes you come alive and something makes you feel really good. Live that moment.
Yes. Live that moment. I like that. You might just have found the title of your episode. what do you hope will be your legacy?
I hope my legacy is that nothing holds you back. That you can look at me and see that I was able to push through every obstacle that came my way, and that you achieve what you want to achieve, that what you put out into the world, you take it. It's yours. And that's really what I hope people do.
Good stuff. Louis, tell us where we can connect with you on the web.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see you at louispacheco.com. You know, follow my blog, join the mailing list, and, you know, check out one of my classes. I'd love to introduce you to the VersaClimber and really inspire you to take fitness to a whole new level.
Amazing. Louis, you inspire me so much. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of all the things you're out there doing in the world. Keep it up.
Thank you.
All right. I want to thank Louis for chatting with me today. And I want to thank you for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please head over to iTunes and click the subscribe button. And while you're there, if you could take a moment to leave a quick review, it helps me out a lot. Now, you can find the links for everything we talk about in the show notes, which can be found over at thinkoutsidethelines.com/podcast. Until next time, go out there and pursue your passion today, because the best way to predict the future is to create it. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.